Desire and interest in your prayers as we pick up with the series of Foundation of Truth. I just didn't write it on the top, but this is continuing on the series of Foundation of Truth. We are interested in knowing what the Lord wants in our life. How are we to live? Why are we to live? When someone asks, why do you do that or why do you not do that? What is our answer? The Lord wants us to know His Word, and He wants us to grow up spiritually. There is a place for babes to give milk, and there is also a place that we need to grow up and start eating some meat. And we want the Lord to lead us with His Spirit as we look into the Word of God. We've been talking, the last message has been the last 2 or 3 weeks on personal standards. By definition, something that is personal, it's mine. It's between me and God. That there are some things that are clearly lined out in the Word of God in how we are to live. Bible doctrines, and there are biblical principles that we live within those principles. But within that area, we have to draw some lines in our life in areas that the Bible doesn't spell out. In all that you do, do all to what? To the glory of God. So how do I live that out practically? I need to be led by the Spirit. My desire should be, Lord, I want to please you. So in my life, I'm going to have to draw some lines of what I do and don't do. And that might be a little bit different than the lines that you draw. But our goal and purpose should be the same. Lord, we want to glorify you. That's our purpose, is to please you. So we're going to pick up there this morning, if you will turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Jesus said, well, I'm going to see if we want to back up just a little bit. Let's begin with verse 27. He said, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And I want to make mention before we move on, he is not speaking about just temptation here. He is speaking about lust and a desire, kind of I would if I could mentality. It was more than just seeing something and the enemy bringing a thought and there being a temptation, because everyone is tempted. Jesus was tempted and yet without sin. Sin is when we give in to that temptation, that acceptance of the thought that the enemy brings to our mind, that acceptance. And so many times people look at the Mosaic Law and they say the Mosaic Law, the commandment said you do this and don't do that. Jesus did not come to lower the standard of what the law taught. Jesus actually elevated the standard. We don't live by the Mosaic Law anymore. We are saved by grace. We are saved by the work of the blood of Jesus Christ, not because merely of what we do and don't do. But when we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, it's going to bring about holiness in our life because of the work of God within us. Jesus did not lower the bar. He said, now the Mosaic Law was, thou shalt not commit adultery. See, that was black and white. And it's still taught in the New Testament, is it not? It's a very clear teaching in the New Testament. But Jesus went beyond that. And he began to deal with issues of the heart. Our salvation this morning is based on the conditions of our heart. And we can talk about traditions among God's people. We can talk about standards and practices. But when it comes down to it, it is about what is going on in your heart with God. What is your relationship? Because someone that has no relationship with God whatsoever, They can follow certain patterns of living and hold certain traditions and do things the way that you all might think that's what a good Christian does. And yet their heart could be far from God. So we are not then saved by the things that we do or don't do. We are saved by the blood of Jesus when I open up my heart. But then it is also true when my heart is right before God, my desire and my actions and my decisions are going to be formulated by my love for Jesus Christ. He went on to say, if thy right eye offend thee, do what with it? Pluck it out. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And he didn't even talk about the left eye. I mean, he's talking about the right eye. Dominant side for most of us, not all of us. But if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, do what? Cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now this is after about 3 months on this series. The scripture teaches us, if our eye offend thee, pluck it out. And if your hand offend thee, cut it off. He was not speaking physically here. Because you go and say, well, I'm seeing things I shouldn't, so I'm going to go pluck my eye out. No, he was speaking spiritually. But what he was teaching us was that it is more important to have a relationship with God and walk in holiness than to hold on to something that is lawful, that you can't prove to me by the scripture that it's sin if I do this. But yet if that thing, as lawful to you as it might be, if it is causing my heart to be turned away from God, Jesus said, get rid of that thing. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your hand offend thee, cut it off. It would be better to go through life depriving yourself of something that is lawful spiritually, that is lawful, than to hold on to that and lose your soul. So many personal standards that we have this morning cannot be laid on other people. This is not compromise. And again, I will just say again, I about need to put that, you know, when you hear advertisements on the radio and then at the end of the advertisement, they have this qualification. Before you quote me and take one sentence out of context, go listen to the last three months of messages. But I cannot lay my personal standards on someone else. We are to preach the truth, preach the word of God, preach the principles, warn practically about things. But when it comes to some places in my life, if my eye offend me, and who gave us our eyes? God did. It was lawful, it was God ordained, it was given. But if it offend you, and it's going to cause you to lose your soul, Jesus is saying, get rid of it. Your relationship with God is more important. But when I come to service, and I let's just use the hand instead of the eye. I cut my hand off. Do you know if I'm not careful, I'm going to start resenting you that you still have yours. And so then I might come and say, brother, the Lord talked to me. And it was a problem for me spiritually to do this thing. You need to stop that. And what happens is, and it's happened through the generations, when one person spiritually cut their hand off, they wanted to cut everybody else's hand off too. If I'm going to be maimed and I'm going to cut that off in my life, I want to be sure you're measured up too. What are you measuring to? If I have to cut my hand off and deprive myself of something that's lawful, I'm not talking about sinful behaviors, but we're talking about in our relationship with God, every time I do that or partake of this, the Lord showed me it's not good for me spiritually. The Spirit of the Lord wants me to cut my hand off. But then I want y'all to do the same thing. If I have to cut my hand off, it's not fair that you have both of your hands. Isn't that how we start thinking as a group? A couple of you agree with me? See, this is for men and women. This starts being for grown-ups spiritually. Because it's not fair. That's what you hear children say, it's not fair. If the Lord has dealt with me, then I want you all to come up to where what the Lord's dealt with me. Folks, the Holy Spirit will be faithful to your brother and sister. The Holy Spirit will be faithful. Jesus said, cut your hand off. He didn't say, if someone else's hand offends them, go cut it off for them. And so there's something very instinctive about us wanting to kind of go and bring someone else to our standard because of a group. But Lord, help us to recognize if there's something hindering in you in your life and you look around and say, but everybody else is doing it, what does that have to do with it? If something is hindering you spiritually, do what you need to do to stay faithful to God. If it's a problem, may I have my cell phone, please? If this is your hand this morning, I remember having lengthy discussions. They were done on email too, and that takes internet. But I remember years ago when the internet first started. See, those of you that are younger, I grew up without internet. And I was out of college. I was about at the end of college before we actually even started using it. And I remember having discussion with a couple of ministers, very lengthy ones, and they were pushing, maybe we need to ban the internet. Maybe we need to say that we shouldn't have it, just like many of us have chosen not to have a TV in our home. That's a personal choice too, isn't it? It's time to grow up, saints. So now, I remember there was a big discussion for quite a number of weeks between about three or four of us. We can't ban that. That's not mine to ban in your life. But you know what I would do is warn you? This has done a whole lot more damage than the television ever did. Done a lot more damage than the television has ever done. So what are we going to do? We live in a wicked world. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to purify our hearts. We need to purify our minds. And if this is hindering me spiritually, then cut it off. But I can't lay that on everybody else. See, this gets really personal, folks. We are in a fight to make it to heaven. We're in a spiritual battle, but there are going to be times we're going to have to cut our hand off. And if it's a problem, do what you need to do. But again, then if I recognize this is a really good place to have gotten rid of that, then I want to come and start kind of telling all you need to too. No, what I need to do is to preach the word to you. Live in holiness. Everything you do, let it be pure. Let it be godly. Don't let something take up too much of your time. Don't get wrapped up in the things of the world. Don't be trying to emulate the world, because that's what the Bible teaches. And then in your life, where there are areas that are contesting that, if you have to cut your hand off this morning. And don't use it as an excuse, well, Brother Michael has it, so it's okay. No, if it's a problem to you, listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit, because we want to make it to heaven this morning. So standards are practical protections then. And we've covered that. But that's what a personal standard is. It's a line that we've drawn in our life to keep me within the principles that the Scripture teaches, but that does not spell out in black and white. But don't use your hand as an occasion to the flesh. You have the liberty. God gave you that hand. But again, as Paul warned us, don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. But if you have liberty, if you don't have liberty and you cut your hand off, don't go to try to steal your brother or sister's liberty. And see, a lot of the time when these things are taught, it's been taught by people with an agenda sometimes. An agenda to want to see how close to the world you can get. But again, we can't neglect this kind of teaching, folks. It'll keep us spiritually immature. Our purpose should be to get as close to God as we can. Lord, I don't want compromise in my life. And someone says, Brother Michael, you teach these kind of things. People will take it as a liberty for the flesh. Where is the heart? For the heart that's compromised, they will use Scripture to back it up. For those that are self-righteous and want to cut everybody's hands off, they will find the Scripture to back it up. But for those of us that want to please God, more than anything else, our desire should be, Lord, I want to get close to you. And so if my hand offend me, then cut it off. But Lord, help me to recognize it's not my place to go cut everybody else's hand off. But you see, what happens is if 10 of us here today, if the congregation was 10, and that was all that were here, and we had all cut our hands off, do you know what the 11th person that came and sat down among us, they'd be looking around and they would see a group that had their hand cut off, right? And they'd say, oh, this group teaches that you have to cut your hand off if you're going to be part of this fellowship. This is why it's so important for us folks to preach the Word of God. You don't have to cut your hand off, but you get close to God. And if God calls for you in your life to lay something aside that's not spelled out, that's hindering the glory and presence of God in your life, then you get rid of it. But when someone asks of you, why do you do this? I don't want to be guilty of falling back and saying, well, you know, my grandma and grandpa or 140 years ago, some of the pioneer ministers said, I want to learn from our blessed heritage. But heritage does not save us. Heritage does not keep us. We need a walk with God led by the Holy Spirit. And so if people have cut off their hands, then everybody thinks, oh, to be part of this group, you got to cut your hand off. Well, do you recognize that through time, the children grow up thinking, if you're going to serve the Lord, you got to cut your hand off. And pretty soon, that's just the accepted belief that everybody has to cut their hand off. When the Bible didn't teach that, what he said is, if your hand offend you, cut it off. Lord, help us. It can't be stressed enough that holy living is for holy people. And if someone has a heart for the things of the world, they're going to find a place of liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And if someone has a heart to elevate themselves in self-righteous with a self-righteous spirit, they will find a place of fanaticism, and they will try to use the Scripture to support their stand. Lord, help us to be led by the Holy Spirit this morning. If you will turn with me to the book of Romans in the 14th chapter. Romans in the 14th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 1. See, we're interested in personal standards to keep us in the way, to help us. But we also want to understand how that affects us as a group. People as a group. Christendom, if you will. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Who is weak in the faith this morning? What does it mean to be weak in the faith? Him that is weak. A lot of it comes from perspective. Because today some would say those that are weak are those that they seem to be enjoying their liberty. They're weak in the faith. But do you recognize when Paul was addressing it, he was saying those that are weak in the faith were those that were cutting off their hand. He said they didn't need to. They're weak in the faith. They don't understand that they have liberty. And he explained it. He said, for one believeth that he may eat all things. In other words, meat that's been offered to idols, or meat that was not supposed to be eaten under the Mosaic law. We're not under the law dispensation anymore, folks. We're under grace. We're not saved because of the type of meat we do or do not eat. But think about the contrast of the Jews and the Gentiles that were coming from such diverse backgrounds. And think about how when one person is not eating meat and someone else is, or someone else is, where did that meat come from? How was that killed? How was the slaughter done? In wanting to know, Paul was like, those things don't matter. But he said, if one believe that you may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. I don't think God wants me to eat meat, so I'm eating herbs. He said, you receive them. Lord, help us today The unity that God's people are to have is found around the cross of Jesus Christ. If we find our unity around a personal standard, it is not a unity that will endure, and it will promote self-righteousness. It will promote groupism. It will begin to produce among some of God's people an exclusiveness that we are the only ones that are part of the church. Who is part of the church of God? Everyone that is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. All those that are saved from their sin and living and walking in holiness. There is great value to the body of Christ, but as a body, we want to maintain a spirit of acceptance and not be so quick, maybe, to judge one another. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who's weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't let them look down their spiritual nose at them. Don't look and, well, we, you know, this is kind of, they're the fringe. They're our fringe. We illustrated it last week. Those that are just getting real close to the world. But that's not where I want to live. But if my brother or sister, because there are some things that are sin and not sin, and there are some things that are right, and there are some things that are wrong, and then there are some areas that there are some gray areas. Don't despise him. Don't despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. I wonder if people have ever been guilty in the Christian world of cutting people off spiritually when God had received that person. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Who is the master this morning? God is the master. We are going to stand before God and be answerable to him. And he was telling the folks here, be careful about being so judgmental with your brother or sister. Who are you to judge your master's servant? We are going to stand before God individually. Folks, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. This is not compromise this morning. Without holiness, we won't see the Lord, but we need to be careful in these areas of personal standard and conviction. He said, one man esteemeth one day above another. See, the Jews were keeping the holy days. They were still keeping maybe the Feast of the Tabernacle and the Feast of Pentecost, and they were keeping these things, and then the Gentiles got saved. And they believed in Christ. Can you imagine what it would be like to come together and worship with people from a background of the ritualistic worship of the Mosaic Law and someone come in and off the street without any of that background? Can you imagine the discussions and the controversies that took place? And Paul was trying to help them out here. He's trying to help him out. He said, you know, don't be careful about this now. He said, one man does esteem one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. God created every day. Every day is holy to the Lord. He said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You develop convictions in your heart and seek the mind of God in how you live your life within the parameters. It's not your way, but within the parameters of the Scripture. He said, one man esteemeth, well, look, go verse 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So who's weak? Judge in yourself. There are deep inbred teachings of a group that can quickly become issues of conscience. It is our job as parents to teach our children, to instill in them a standard of living. That is our job. And we neglect it when we don't. But then if we do that in our homes, and then the children, as they get older, then come to service, and we have similar convictions or similar standards, if we don't give the balance of the preaching that we're looking at here this morning, and we don't give that balance, those standards will begin to hold a place in the mind of the group, and they'll hold it higher than what God does. I hope that that makes sense to you this morning. We need standards, personal standards. But we want to recognize that what happens is through time, there's groupthink. I hold my personal standard this way, and Brother Randy holds it the same way, and Brother James holds it the same way, and we come together, and pretty soon, this is what the group does. And someone comes along and that's what the group is and that's what they teach. And if you don't do it, it's wrong. And you're not a part of God's church. That's not what the Bible teaches. Be very careful to have respect and not to cut your brother off that God has accepted. It's easier to talk about honoring days of the week. Some people still today respect a certain day of the week. What day do we worship? Mondays? Wednesdays? Saturdays? The old Sabbath? Or Sundays, the Lord's Day? The history and the pattern is that the disciples worshiped on the Lord's Day, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the day the Holy Spirit came. And that's tradition. But if I'm somewhere and they're worshiping on Friday, that's okay. We're coming together to worship the Lord. If I worship on Saturday, here's the danger. I don't want to be in bondage to that. There are Sabbath keepers today. Do you know the Lord is not cutting them off because they're worshiping on the Sabbath? The Lord's not cutting them off. The problem is when they start holding that in bondage on everybody else. That's the problem. The same thing with a head covering. If I may reach back to last Sunday, there have been those that have grown up thinking and understanding the scripture away. But we have to be faithful to the Lord. If someone feels convicted about wearing a head covering, Lord bless them in that. I'm not going to cut them off, but I don't want them putting that bondage on me because we're at liberty. The Lord gave a woman her long hair for covering. But if someone believes this is what God wants of me, I believe this is the exact type of thing that Paul is addressing, then they need to be faithful to the convictions within the parameters of truth that they understand. But I don't want that to take away from the right and the privilege and necessity of teaching truth. And then as someone gains scriptural knowledge, they may realize that, you know, I didn't have to do it this way. And then they're not violating their walk with God. They're growing in truth. Okay? But we need to accept and honor the place and convictions because there are standards probably that all of us in our homes have had. We cannot lay that on someone else. And we need to be careful that deep inbred teachings or standards, rather, standards of individuals become groupthink. Because it's almost feel sinful to change what someone has believed for a long time. So if someone comes among us and they have been raised a certain way and they have a strong conviction that this is what God wants, I would do them an injustice to say, oh, you don't need to do that. Don't worry about that. I would do them a great injustice because I don't want someone to violate their conscience if they believe God requires this of me. But as they grow in the Lord, but do you know then, I want people to have that same respect for me as well. There may be things in my life that you may look at and say, Brother Michael, you don't have to do that, or you should be doing that, and I'm doing what I know is right. We need to have a respect. The group dynamics, as it relates to personal standards, we need to have a respect and a love for one another and forgiving one another. And seeking to have unity. He went on to say then, well, let me read a little bit more here. In the same 14th chapter, he said, Whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And in verse 10, he said, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give account of ourselves. We're going to give an account of ourselves. How have we been living? How have we been walking? He said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. This is group now. Let us not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded, this is Paul talking, by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And if your brother be grieved with your meat, how walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. We have been in places, I mentioned, that they had head coverings when they prayed. It would be a disgrace for my wife and my daughter to go with me and not cover their head. Why, if I have liberty, if we have liberty not to, how can I go and destroy for them? We need to walk charitably one with another. Now, this is where sometimes I might give something up so as not to offend you. But there's a balance here as well. Because we live in a time that one person, even in the congregation, one person over here may say, oh, you need to do it this way. And someone all over here is saying the opposite. And I'm like, I don't want to offend anybody. And if I do it, I offend this one. And if I don't do it, I offend them. So what do? You just keep your eyes on the Lord and live to please Him. But what he's talking about is, for example, if you were going to have visitors to your home and you knew they did not eat pork because they were observing the Old Testament of doctrine and they were convicted of that personally, why would you serve them pork if they came to your house? Why would you do that? It would destroy confidence. It wouldn't be wise. That wouldn't be charitable. And that's what he's talking about. Don't let the difference of conviction and understanding destroy the unity that the Lord wants to exist among his people. Background, and he's not talking about truth. I just want to be very clear. He's not talking about the difference of right and wrong. About, well, I was raised that it's fine to lie. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about issues of truth. He's talking not things that are morally wrong, but feast days and holy days and rituals and background, raising, and traditions are important this morning. They have a big influence on all of us. And I'm thankful for that. They should have a big influence on us. And yet, we cannot impose those on someone else. And we need to act from personal convictions in our life without holding that on my brother or on my sister. Foundation of unity is not having the same personal standards. It's the same Savior. It's the same truth. And this is where the Pharisees started to shut up the kingdom of God. They started to lay things on people that Christ never did, and the Lord chastised them for that. There's more that can be said if you read on down in this passage in Romans, but to the Jew, Paul became as a Jew, didn't he? To the Gentile, he became as a Gentile until it conflicted with truth. So remember, Timothy was going to go minister to the Jews, and Paul had Timothy circumcised. So he would not be, his influence would not be minimized as he ministered to the Jews. But then when it came to Titus, Paul was like, no. Titus, go to Jerusalem with me. I want the people to know here's a man full of the Holy Spirit that has not followed that. And he stood up for what was truth because it was a place they were beginning to impose the Jewish standard on the Gentiles. And Paul said, okay, now it's not just an issue of influence. We're dealing with issues of truth. And that's when he stood up. So there are places that the Lord would have for us. I've tried to illustrate, and I know this has been a little more teaching, and we'll be done shortly, but I've tried to illustrate with some practical things. Do you know something that takes place in most congregations is they take up offerings? Have you ever thought about that? I grew up, I want to tell you, my background was no public offerings. No public offering, because don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. And I come back in the Midwest, and y'all are walking up front of everybody, putting in an offering. It's like, do I think there's a better way? It's opinion. You understand? There was a box, an offering box, if you will, at the temple as people walked in. That's where Jesus sat back and watched them as they put in their offerings. He saw the widow's mite. He saw what she did. And so then there's practice and tradition that I grew up as my father grew up, as my pastor grew, was in California, that they did not have public offerings. There was a box in the back. And then I come back to the Midwest and it's like, it looked a little substandard for you to have people that had public offerings. In this congregation, before I don't think you all didn't used to have public offerings either. I hope we're not going down the road of compromise, but I want to make a point. You see, the way that you grow up is how you start forming your ideas. But if we take the scripture about not letting your left hand know what your right hand doeth, we better not have public prayer either, because in that same passage, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. You see how we have to take scripture in context then? So then here's the other thing, and I know there are maybe some here that practice this, and I'm not throwing stones, please, okay? Don't go away offended at me this morning. But among a lot of people we fellowship, you have a box in the back or there's public offering. And you say, oh, but those people that pass the plate, that's secular. Really? Where does it tell in the Bible how to take up an offering? I mean, you are more in the forefront to walk up here than you are someone just pass a plate through the congregation. I'm not advocating plate passing. You understand what I'm saying, though? But the way that we grow up, I'm using it to illustrate a point. The way that we grow up, that's our custom. That's our practice. And if we're not careful, we can let our practices and traditions become issues of truth when they're not issues of truth. And then someone that grew up passing a plate was like, what are you talking about? I don't get it. Well, I remember reading a Church of God person from another group writing about this subject many, many years ago, and I read it. It's like, you know what? He's exactly right. It's true. You can't make this is the right way and this is the wrong way. You just do it like the Bible teaches. If you're doing it to be seen of men, you're doing it wrong. The method, there's differences of administration. So Lord, help us to understand there's a difference between customs and practices as it pertains to worship, as it pertains to Holy Spirit leadership. You say, Brother Michael, for some that might be a sacred cow. I believe in Holy Spirit leadership this morning. I believe in that. But do you realize there is a traditional practice of that among people? That I have been many other places where there were all kinds of ministers and preachers coming in from denominations from all over. And if you just left it quite as open as what we do, you want to see a problem. And so for some of the brethren to get together and seek the Lord for who is going to minister that day, can I say that that's wrong? No, I couldn't say that. I value Holy Spirit leadership. But when we have a revival meeting, hasn't there been something predetermined, is hopefully led by the Holy Spirit, that someone was going to minister in a revival meeting, and there might be other ministers there? Is that not, do we say that's not Holy Spirit leadership? You see the point I'm making? I'm not throwing out practice, but I want us to understand that there are going to be some differences sometimes in practice and traditions and standards. I could say a little bit more about that. You'd have a Bible study on that subject by itself. I value Holy Spirit leadership, and I value the way we do it. But I want us to understand we need to be big enough to understand in some of the places I go on the mission field, we do a little bit differently. And there's some reasons for that, but we want to be led by the Spirit. I'd like to, before we close, in Mark in the 7th chapter, Jesus said, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of pots and cups and many other things. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. There were two laws that were being passed down. There was the written law, the Mosaic law that was being passed down among the Jews, and there was the verbal law that was passed down from father to son. And Jesus was chastising them because, in essence, they were elevating the traditional verbal teachings as equal with the commandments of God. Do you see a warning here, saints? It's good to pass down traditions. Good standards. I want to do that. I want people to see the truth lived out in a practical way, and that takes personal standards to do it. But we can never elevate our personal standards on the same level as truth. Because then pretty soon people were putting value, more value on their traditions, and they were teaching them as commandments. Rather than saying, you know what, this is a good way, here's the reason, this helps us follow this commandment, this keeps us in a safe place. That's how it should have been approached. But instead, they began to teach it on an even plane. So traditions do not have equal authority and are not binding. Personal standards start at home, and I know they spread out from there, but folks, they're personal. So if something is biblical, and I'm concluding here, if something is biblical doctrine, it stands on its own merits. It's the Word of God. If it's Bible doctrine, it stands on its merit. If it's something that's principle, we need to declare it as such. Everything you do, do it to the glory of God. Holiness, that's how we are to live. If it is a tradition or personal standard or even a practice among us as a group, as a congregation, as a people, as good as it might be, let it be known as such. This is a tradition. This is a practice that we keep, but we never want to be guilty of elevating it to the same level as truth. Paul said, or Peter said, rather, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Folks, I want to make it to heaven. I want to make it, and I'm going to need to have standards in my life, but I also want to be aware of how we teach and live and preach and how these group dynamics evolve as a people. And may the Lord help us to always glorify Him. Amen.